Well, we finished Psalm 119, 176 verses, and now we're going to proceed on to the Psalm of the Ascents, the Ascension Psalms, 120 through 134, 15 Psalms, and half of those are six verses or less, so we will have very short Psalms for a time here. And we will start out maybe a little distance from Jerusalem on their way, or maybe they're even planning this trip to Jerusalem. Now, God in his wisdom had set up three feasts a year that were compulsory for all men to attend. And I think how far we've gone in this nation in so many, many ways, but we have men who are not walking with the Lord, men who are not spiritual leaders in the home, men who are not taking responsibility for their children. But this is not the way it should be. And of course, Israel turned away from the Lord as well, even with these things. But there were three times of the year that the males were to go to Jerusalem to worship. And they would spend 7 days there, 7 days to kind of get back on track, be reminded of the national dependence on God. And so these are psalms that would be sung as they would be on their way, typically, to the feast. They may be coming from far, far off. Maybe it was one trip of a lifetime. Or maybe they were right in Jerusalem itself. But we will see how they are crying out to the Lord. And we start out with a great cry of distress in this psalm. And so this is kind of at the bottom. They'll get better as we go along, and we'll end up with the last psalm. They're actually in the temple at that point. But right now, they're kind of on their way. And where do they come from? Well, as we read this psalm, it's entitled in my Bible, Plea for Relief from Bitter Foes, a song of ascents. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So I would think many of us, even on our way to these Saturday morning times, would be kind of thinking of the same thing. Or when we go to worship maybe on Sunday, or maybe we worship on a midweek service, or whenever we go to worship, whenever we go to meet with God's family, assembling together, we sense coming out of that bitter-tongued world, that world that speaks lies. And don't you look forward to getting into a place where there's some peace and there's some wholesomeness? I mean, it is just so glorious. So the psalmist here cries out in his distress. In his distress, I cried to the Lord. So if you happen to check the news this morning, you would probably be in distress. And there's no such thing as news anymore. We have olds, and we have always highlighting the worst things that happen, it seems like. But there's just a lot of bad things happening in the world, around the world, aren't there? And in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. So again, a beautiful thing there. Are you crying out to the Lord? Knowing that he hears you, knowing that he hears you. I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. And here's his cry, here's his prayer. Deliver my soul. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. So we can all relate to that, can we not? I mean, when you look at the political scene, when you look at all of these, I guess you'd call them lawsuits or whatever they are, going on right now, and you see all of the untruthfulness from the special counsels and the attorneys and all of that thing, depending on which side they're on. And just lying lips is really, we're familiar with that. Deliver my soul from lying lips. And how about my own lips? There are times when my own lips are not telling the truth. God forbid, but that is true. Deliver my soul from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Oh my. Is your tongue one that edifies, or is it one that's deceitful? Now James says, it's the one thing we cannot tame. So we need his help, don't we? And we need to be quick to come to repentance and asking forgiveness when our tongue speaks falsely, or when our tongue deceitfully is cutting or hacking away at another person. And now, looking at the false tongue, considering the false tongue for a moment, what shall be given to you? What shall be done to you? Is the psalmist's cry here. And the answer, sharp arrows of the warrior. Really, sharp arrows from the Lord, right? You deceitful tongue. Thinking of these sharp arrows coming with great force from the warrior, that could be translated the mighty one. Sharp arrows of the mighty one. With coals of the broom tree, or the juniper tree. Now, the coals of the broom tree make the best charcoal there is. They're very, very hot. They're very burning, lasting. So for a false tongue, we want the hottest of coals, right? To cleanse them, right? So when we see these mouths open and these wicked tongues coming out, wouldn't you like to have the Lord send a sharp arrow into them and or a hot coal put on them? With coals of the broom tree. That's the hottest coals that they would be able to think of in that point. And then this is kind of a cry for us all in the darkness that we're in. Woe is me. Woe is me. Why? That I dwell in Meshech. Now Meshech is the northern part. That would be Turkey and even north of that. That's where Meshech is. So this is not Jerusalem. This is not Israel. This is dwelling outside into the dark northern areas. They call that the area of the Turks. Very, very pagan. So woe is me that I dwell in the pagan, so to speak, and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now, Kedar was the other direction. That's southeast of Israel in the Saudi Arabia area. And these were warring, nomads that were always in war. They were well-armed, and they would go in bands, and they would just raid everything in their path. So when you're in the path of that, you got robbed and whatever, pillaged and so forth. And so here is the picture then of the psalmist crying out. I seem to be dwelling in the northern part where the pagans are really just sharp tongue and all. And also, I seem to be dwelling in the tents of Kedar, just seeing these bands coming through, hating and violent and robbing and pillaging. And he says, my soul has dwelt too long. Do you ever think that? I mean, don't we all think that? Lord, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. And then the Spirit seems to convict, at least convict me. Hey, I've got you there for a reason. And I've got you there because it's wicked in a way. And you return good for evil, right? Isn't that what we're to do? And just think, as things get worse, is that bad or is that good? Well, I think for the child of God, it's good. Now, you got a light out there that shines. If I light a match here today and these lights here, you barely see the match, right? But put that match contrasted to much darkness, that in the middle of the night, you can see a match from a mile away. So how is the good news that you have? Is it easier to distribute it where there's great, 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 great need for it, or where there's just a little bit, it's just a little bit better? I think the worse things get, the better our opportunities are for the gospel, right? I mean, how hard is it today, anywhere in the world, and especially even in this nation, to find an unbeliever? Boy, you don't have to turn very many rocks around. You find all kinds of unbelievers wherever you go, right? So the Lord's not done yet. Fullness of Gentiles has not come in yet, so we're all here today. So he's still got something for us. I don't know if he'll be here this afternoon, but he's here this morning. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. They are for war. I was thinking also just of the national holidays that Israel had on their calendar, particularly the feast days. And then I was thinking about our nation, so founded by the Lord. And you know, not too many years ago, I mean, it's a lot of years ago when some of us were kids, but not too many years ago in a way, you knew what Christmas vacation was, right? And you knew what Easter vacation was from school. There is no more Christmas. There is no more Easter. Spring break, winter break. Don't show a nativity scene. You can't. That might remind somebody of Christ. And so we've seen now we are in this wickedness that's all around us, aren't we, in a way, and how the Lord is needed. And so who's the instrument for getting that out? It's us. It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. So in one way, as Israel would turn its back on the Lord and the Jewish religious leaders and so forth, you know, of course, rejected Christ. And when you reject Christ, it's all downhill, and it's been downhill for 2,000 years. And if you think of Jerusalem as a city of peace, can you imagine one city today who has even less peace than Jerusalem? I mean, Jerusalem is kind of not a very peaceful place, is it? Totally war and all that stuff going on there. And maybe not so much in Jerusalem, but in Israel itself. So here we are, and we just want to remember who's in charge. We remember that he sent the Holy Spirit to us, and each of us has the Spirit. What a beautiful, beautiful time we're in. We all have the Holy Bible here. It's in entirety. You may have a dozen of them at home, but are you in it every day? Because this is what we need, isn't it? So here we are, the choir can preach to each other, but we want to lift our voices up to him, do we not? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning once again and just consider the environment that we're in, and we thank you and we praise you for the good news. Help us now in these moments to redeem these times. And Lord, we know that you tell us in your word, you honor prayers that honor you. You honor prayers that are made in accordance with the name of Jesus, in that character and in that manner. You honor prayers that glorify you and glorify the Son. And Lord, may we glorify you and glorify the Son. And as long as we are praying in that manner, the Spirit will be filling this room. And as soon as we leave that and go off into another way, that just quenches the Spirit. So help us, Lord, to pray as you would lead us today in the areas that we should bring before you now. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, this scripture 2,000 years ago is so fresh and so perfect, and just the instructions that you give us is so clear here in Ephesians 5. See then, knowing what we know, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, looking around, all around you, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unaware, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, or in anything else which is dissipation, But be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, then do what? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us to do that. Help us to have thankful hearts always for all things. To you, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then submitting, putting under, humbling ourselves, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Lord, that seems like just such an answer to our prayers this morning, those things there. The whole word is, of course. But we thank you for meeting us here once again. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather, and we thank you. And even with the recall for the Orange School Board, or whoever that was, remembering those words there in the book of Acts when the apostles were beaten and expelled from the Sanhedrin, saying, "You shall not speak or say anything about Jesus Christ ever again." And they met and they rejoiced. They rejoiced because they were found worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that every board member who is being recalled for Jesus Christ would be rejoicing. And Lord, what the outcome is of these things is in your hands. It's not ours. But Lord, help us to be available and just to stand up as you would work through us and to do what is right. If we do what is right, that's all that you are asking us to do. We can't turn a state around. We can't turn a nation around, certainly by ourselves, but we can do what is right. And we can stand up against all of the evil. And we see here in the scripture 2,000 years ago, it was said the days are evil. So Lord, there's never been a time where Satan has been quiet. That's coming soon though. But Lord, you've given us marching orders. There's so available work to be done wherever we turn, Lord, just to do what is right, because there's so much wrong out there and how different it is. If we just see, even today, if you're just kind enough to open a door for somebody, how they respond, because there's just no kindness in the world. And how hard is it for us to open a door for somebody? So Lord, bless and guide each one because they came. Well, we've been talking about the tongues today. Let's close with this new hymn. It was written in 1739 by Charles Wesley. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. So let's sing about our tongues. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Father, help us to use these tongues for your glory, Lord. And we praise you for meeting us here this morning. And you always meet us here. And you always meet us wherever we are. And I just pray that we would allow you to go with each of us the rest of this day and tomorrow, if you give us tomorrow, but proclaiming your word and glorifying your name with these tongues you've given us and our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. Amen.